Vasile. Hi, good morning, and thank you very much for being here this morning in this marvelous sunny day in this marvelous city. I just would like to say that for Mediaset Spain and Telecinco Cinema, for Aguilán Barbois and Álvaro Agustín, who are the producers of Telecinco Cinema, the most exciting part of our work is that of astronomy, that is, to find stars in the sky of films, but sometimes we see them very close and we didn't see them, and sometimes they're very far away and we take a long time to find them. So nevertheless, Sergio Sanchez is one of those stars. We met him as a screenplay writer of The Orphanage and The Impossible, and he had made a film, a TV movie. I say this because in the previous presentation I had no idea of this, but it turns out the producer, Joaquin Padrón, got angry with me because he said I wasn't up to date, and I was saying that was his first film, but he did a TV film, but this is his first feature film, and of which obviously the director and Bayona and the cast will talk about. But I would just like to say I had a commitment, and that was to make a film, to do three things. A beautiful story is required, a beautiful story, and a beautiful story. Later in life, I've understood that not all beautiful stories can be turned into a film, and that sometimes, just as in this case, you have to work very hard in order to go from a story, a beautiful story, which was 65 sheets of paper that was handed over to us 4 years ago, if I recall correctly, and fascinated us, and then was the beginning of a very long journey, which has taken us all the way to here, to this film that I consider is a truly marvelous film, and I also consider that just as happened with another star, who's now a really huge star, like a son, which is my friend here, Jota, J.A., that is to say, today a star is born once again. Thank you very much. Okay, questions. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask, how did you do the casting process in order to have these young promising stars with you on the film, and to the stars, to the actors and actresses? I would like to know whether you knew the films in which the director had participated in Bayona's, and so on and so forth. Did you know the background of the director you were working with? Well, the casting process started 6 months before we started to shoot with a casting director in London, Karen Stewart, and it lasted almost 4 months. We started, she did an original selection. The curious thing with Karen is that she'd done all the Harry Potter casting, and she knew all of the kids in that range of age to which was the age group we were looking for. It was incredible because we saw tests, auditions of marvelous actors. The difficult thing was to find four ideal actors for the characters so that they could work as a believable family in the film. And it was a process which was beautiful, and it was easy to find them at the end. I think each of them, there was a moment of stopping the audition. I was going, please, do you want to be Billy? Do you want to be Jane? So on said, therefore. And shooting in Asturias, there was a marvelous family because they all came. It was like in a bubble. They were stuck for 10 weeks in Asturias, and it was a very similar situation to the family lives in the film. So what do you guys have to say?
For me, I was brought into the casting room that Sergio was talking about, and I had heard, that Sergio had wrote The Impossible, and a year before, I did a movie with Naomi Watts, and obviously that was a big movie for her. And I actually had to go back to reshoot in between, after casting and starting this movie, and I had a conversation with her about Sergio at the time, and about her experience on The Impossible, and, she had wonderful things to say, and then it was just a really easy decision for me to make. I mean, what Sergio said about us being in the room when we came, and at the time there was no script, it was just sides. And originally I'd actually take for Jack, my original first tape, and then I was brought back in to tape for Billy, and so there was no script. So you know, the context of what I was doing in the casting was you were kind of just explaining it as we were going, and it was a lot at the time to get my head around. And it was, yeah. And then I remember at the end of the audition, Sergio just told me, like, you know, you're the best Billy I've seen. And I remember leaving, like, oh, cool. but yeah, that's kind of my part on it.
Yeah, it was kind of similar. I had seen the Impossible and heard about the Orphanage, and then after meeting Sergio, went and watched the Orphanage, and obviously they're both incredible films. So yeah, I mean, we just similarly to everyone, just went in for the audition and didn't know anything other than the sides and the title, and obviously the creative team behind the project. And we just dived straight in, and Sergio gave context to the sides when we were in there, and we just immediately started working the scenes and playing around with how we could sort of explore this idea that the film's about. And it was fascinating. I just wanted to be involved, so I was very grateful when it came about.
So I was in The Impossible, small part, so I'd met with Juan Antonio and Sergio before, and became friends with them both. So when Sergio was casting in London, he asked me to help read in as the other characters when he was auditioning actors. So I read the part of Rose when we were auditioning other people, and I really love working with Sergio, so I was a bit cheeky and asked if he'd consider me for the part. And he did, so.
I had seen both The Impossible and The Orphanage, and I was brought on, I think, a bit later in the casting process, but by that point, there was a script. And it's one of the only scripts I've read where I got very emotional and very attached to the story immediately. And I didn't see anything coming in, I guess, twist-wise. And I had Skyped Sergio before taping, and I was just really, really, really happy that I made it. And
Okay, next question. Yes, good morning to all of you. I don't like this kind of genre. Nevertheless, I must say I love the film. Congratulations, not only for the casting and the cast, but everything else. Curiosity as regards the end of the film. The ending is very suggestive, shall we say. I was thinking that perhaps there would have, that you were psychosis and Jack had killed everybody and you were making this gesture towards, this was a tribute, no, love triumphs at the end, and this character who's so traumatized ends up being redeemed for having met, or for having fell in love, or found love. That gesture towards, or a tribute to psychosis, or am I inventing it? No, not at all. For me, the film is a fable. And I always talk about the film like it's like one of these Russian dolls. It's a story that every time, 10 minutes, you go into another layer and it turns into another creature until you come into the crux of the matter of what the storyline's about. All of the films I've worked in with, I always we talk about characters to go back to a home that doesn't exist anymore. So therefore, this search of a home, for example, is almost triple. They go from the England to the US to find a home. That home, they set up a fort, a house within the house, so to speak. And within that world, we've got Jack's notebook where he constructs the place where no one can take away the things that he most loves. And at the end of the day, at the end of the film has something which is quite classic and quite innocent, and that is, it's a tribute to that extreme innocence, and it's that love, Jack's love towards his brother and sister, and the saving love of Ali towards Jack, which is truly what makes up the emotional side of the film. So never, there's no tribute or gesture or any twist or any extra that was so horrible. It's not a horror film. It's a fable which suspense, which encompasses other genres. But what I think what's most important in the film is the emotion it transmits, conveys. A question for Sergio and Jota. It's a genre film, Sergio, but a few years back, well, a couple of days, and they had the mother was dead, and they had to live with her for a few days. I was seeing the film, but I was also seeing how reality. Oh yes, this was a paper article. Real children have had to live with their dead mother for a few days. This appeared in the newspapers a couple of days back. But we can see that in a genre film can also address this issue and to feel that empathy and provide solutions, because sometimes things happen that seem that it's a film, but it's real life. And Jota, within your agenda of mega successes worldwide, you've got any room to make a smaller film in Catalan, or a feature film in Catalan, in the Catalan language? You want to start? Well, yes, every time that you write something which is extreme, and no matter how extreme the story is, reality always finds a similar example, as you've just said. My idea at all, when I worked upon the story and the film in a tone which was almost a fable or fantasy, I like the fantasy or fantastic genre, because from a film standpoint, cinematographically speaking, you can fly with many other things, you can take very daring decisions, as I think I believe I've taken in the film. And that was the poetic key that I took, that for me, which really moves me in the story, is this search of a place where you can feel safe, where no one can take away the things that you adore and love. And on the other hand, how, in a certain way, the people that you've got around you, the people who love you and the people that you love, end up configuring who you are as a person. So that's all. I was not going any further than that. That's what I was looking for. Well, interesting that the question about language, because every time you film a story, you've got to think about what's the best language to tell the story, The Impossible, which was a story based upon a Spanish family. Maria Belon asked us to please, we didn't want the family to have a nationality. She wanted to talk about people, really, in that film. So as of that moment, on the one hand, due to the industrial reality, which was difficult to film to shoot the film in Spanish, and Mariana asked us for this, that say she didn't want any specific nationality to be conveyed in the film to those people and to separate them from the rest of the people. So Maria Teresa, she didn't wear people above all, not nationalities. That's what she wanted. And I thought about this basically quite a lot. Before shooting Jurassic World, I had a commitment with Telecinco of shooting a film which was much smaller than Jurassic World that had to be in Spanish. I hope that's my next project in Spanish. So therefore, I have the commitment now of coming back home and shooting a film in Spanish, which I feel very much like doing, by the way, after 10 years. Then The Orphanage was first premiered. And in Catalan, the language, I've thought about it, but you've got to tell the story that, and it's got to make sense. And I'd love to do it in my land where I'm from, Catalonia. And I've thought about it, and I've gone over some subject matter. But it'll always be an issue of whether the film, and it fits into the film. And I've always got the feeling, and just like Steven Spielberg said once, you've got to have the feeling that the films, you don't choose the films choose you, and that happens the same. You know, all of a sudden, story comes along, and I like this story is asking me to shoot it, for example. Yes, but I have been thinking about, and the next film, if everything goes okay, will be in Spanish. Okay, hi. A question for Bayona and Basile, because they're the producers, vis-a-vis, well, all of the controversy with Netflix in the Cannes Film Festival, and given that Basile has always said that the government obliged him to invest in movies or in films, so therefore I'd like to know, I don't know whether he agrees that a similar tax as in France to Netflix and YouTube so they can promote films, and I, you know, believe that private TVs like Antena 3 and Telecinco are at a disadvantage now with the arrival of movie star in Netflix who don't have to pay for that tax. And Bayona, just because of the controversy, Netflix in film festivals, could you deal with that issue as well? Thank you. Well, Personally, I'm against all types of obligations. I'm an obedient anarchist, but I don't like to be having to pay any tax. But as everything is based upon regulations, we have to be obedient as an anarchist, but the rules have to be the same for everyone. So therefore, I believe that, yes, if we set up an obligation, whether it's fair or unfair, I don't know, for a sector, because we see certain characteristics or qualities of a certain level, this should be examined. Who belongs to this group, for example? What I'm saying is that when we were on our own as a TV, a private TV, or the way of analogical, and there were very few channels to start off with, but then a private channel turned up, and a series of rules were set up, and then other rules were set up. But now the development and the movement, well, progress has taken us to coexist in a house which is much larger, where I believe that everybody more or less should, more or less everyone should be there, but pay the dues, that is say, the same rules. It's not an injustice, I believe, because I don't really believe that's the correct way of saying things. If something is unfair for some people, it doesn't mean that it should be unfair for everybody else involved. Nevertheless, I think that we should, and this is not my role to do this, but I think we must see what's the reason for which TVs, open TV, should invest in film, and to see whether these motivations should be applied automatically to other subjects who are also in the field of communication. Well, I think to reduce the discourse to Netflix, or yes, Netflix, or no Netflix, or Netflix, or cinema, I think this is too reductionist, I would believe. It's not the right approach. I'm not too sure about this. On the one hand, for example, it's horrible when I open up a menu and 800 films appear on a menu on a screen, because when I go to the film theater, it wasn't only to see a film, it was the effort that it takes to go and see that film. I think it's very difficult to assess something when it costs so little. The value concept is lost, and I love to see a film and announced in a movie journal or a magazine, get the money to go to the cinema. Sometimes I had to steal the money from my mother. She found out about this later, but to get money to pay for the ticket to go to see the film, talk about it later, that to a certain extent adds value to the film. On the other hand, it is also true that it's very difficult to access many different areas in film. For example, kids who, for example, live in remote towns that they don't even have a film theater, and Netflix is a great opportunity not only to see films, national films, but films from all over the world, which would be impossible for them to do so. Both forms are compatible. Many films wouldn't exist without the different exhibiting windows. For example, there are films that can be financed, you can achieve the money because, first of all, they are premiered in a cinema theater, and then they're premiered in a TV. And with those two payments, you can make a film, but only with one payment you can't. People don't understand this because these are things that are quite peculiar about making a film and financing films. But there are films, if they weren't premiered in a film theater, or for example, couldn't be made at the end of the day. So therefore, the discourse is much more complicated than saying Netflix yes or Netflix no. I think it's all positive for the industry, but there's got to be a balance here, and above all, there's got to be a... You've got to enjoy the film in a movie theater, because one of the things I like about Sergio's films is the film. It's cinema. It's a type of language. And I was in a tweet, and someone was making a film, and this person was deciding on where he was going to position the camera, how the actors are going to move in a certain scene. This is something on TV, because of the discipline and the size of the screen, which is much smaller compared to a movie theater, which is square instead of rectangular. This is art that has been lost. So therefore, one of the things that I'm most happy when I saw the first the clip of Marrowbone is that Sergio has shown as a screenplay writer, he was great, but as a director, was great the way he staged the scenes. There are scenes where he shows how he dominates the situation, and other scenes with very few elements and always using the camera in a very subtle and fine way. He can tell stories as a film director. So therefore, in a certain way, films are are being lost with a generation that's growing watching TV. And TV, at the same time, film is getting better thanks to TV, because now the plots are much more surprising. They dare to do things that they didn't want to do in the past, thanks to there exists a certain courageousness in TV that didn't exist in films. It's the discourse is a bit more complex, whether to choose one or the other. Thank you. Yes, next question.
My question is for the actors. I wanted to know if when you started working on this movie, you knew how it was going to end, or you just knew your part? For everyone, yeah. I just want to know if it was like the whole story was given to all the actors from the beginning, or if it was just, you're going to do this and that's it.
Yeah.
We'd all read the whole script, so we knew the entire story.
But at the same time, the script that we read was... the way it kind of the structure of the film was actually different in the script, and then they found that we shot everything. We shot a lot of material over the 10 weeks, and some of the scenes were these long extended scenes, partly for the way that Sergio wanted to shoot it, but partly for the way how there's a lot of space for the actors to breathe in the scene. And I think they found that when you cut the movie together, it was it for how 3 hours was the first cut?
The very first cut, the assembly of
was,
the film
was very
was
long.
3 hours long.
And I think then they found that the way, when I saw the final the film, you know, when I watched the movie, you know, the order of the movie had changed and the structure. So it was interesting to have read the original script, and then we obviously when you shoot completely out of order and all around, to see then the finished piece. You know, was different. I think was that the question? I've lost the question.
Also, I don't know if it's maybe because they mentioned before that when they first got the script, there was no script. There was just scenes. I think what they were saying is they got the sides. I didn't want them to know what this family was about and how Jack's mind was structured. So I just gave them different sides so that they would play Billy, Jane, and then it's like in the third round of casting, they all got the script.
Interesting.
Yeah, next question, please. Hi, a question for Jota here on your right. You were saying that stories choose you. I'm not too sure whether you know what's going happening in your land in Catalonia, but I'm not too sure whether this story is attracting you to be able to explain it on the big screen whenever in the future. Well, I don't think it's interesting what's happening in Catalonia at the present moment. Not at all. All the contrary, I'm a bit afraid of what's going on there. And I see it's quite intense, even though I'm living in London, but I think I'm living what's happening there quite intensely, and I'm very concerned of what's taking place there, especially because what's happening is there's a fracture. Being in London, nevertheless, I spend a lot of time in London, in Barcelona, and in Madrid. I'm always traveling all over the place. I've got a feeling... It's a problem not between Spain and Catalonia, it's a problem between Catalans and Catalans, discussions at home, for example, because it's causing problems with the atmosphere there. And I'm following it very closely. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see how events go. Yes, next question, please. Hi, I'm from Barcelona as well, with my colleagues, cinema students. Juan Antonio, you talked about future generations, and my question is, what advice would you give us, those who want to be screenwriters, plane writers, or directors in the future, or any other role to play when making films? Well, I've always thought that to make films, you don't need any advice. The motivation has to be so powerful that it doesn't matter what people tell you. So, and over the years, you realize that's not true. It's a lie. And those teachers at cinema school, they were much more right than what I, more correct. They were right, and I was wrong. But nevertheless, I was very young back then, and. But what can I say? What I'm trying to tell you here is that you've got to be very motivated, because it's a tough job, not only directly to find the possibility of making the film, but to make the film per se. It's a tough job. What I recommend is to read a lot and see a lot of films and to live a lot. And that is to say, basically, this is a combination of what you live, what you'd like to live, and the weapons that you need sometimes to tell the story. I've learned them unconsciously seeing films, for example. Okay.
Siguiente pregunta.
Okay, next question, please. I think it's going along the lines of the house, but we'll get a microphone in here in a minute.
No,
for Sergio, how did you, the idea of the house, the mansion, the character, because it's a character, how it appears in your mind, and then how you, do you travel to make, to stage everything? Yes, the house, more than a character, is the basic issue, the basic plot, the house and the refuge for these people. So therefore, I studied as I'd gone, looking for many houses, because I did a short, which was called 7337, and with the orphanage, with Juan Antonio, I had a directory of fabulous houses, but we found this house in the Valle de Arán, which is the Palacio de la Torre de Alango. It was a tower, basically, which is a medieval tower around which this house was built. And the truth is, from the outset, I wanted the film to be shot in a natural location. I wanted to be able to move that house with the actors inside and outside. And also, above all, I was looking for a specific type of naturalist type, very natural light. It was very important for the film to reflect how the atmosphere of the last summer of your childhood. I didn't want a shadowy and dark and sinister house, and my DOP designed a system in the way practically the entire film is shot with natural lights. So therefore, we did some alterations in the house. We knocked down some walls and we opened up the kitchen to the porch, and that was very important. We wanted a house that could breathe and could be lived in. So therefore, also for all of the handicrafts that the kids do, that world that they overtake we worked with one single person who made all of the Billy's and the Jane's water paintings. All of this is done by the same person. And to unify that, unify that entire universe. And what else? What can I tell you about the house? Well, it's still there, by the way. We left it just as we left it. And then it was quite curious, because when all of them came along, they were in a hotel in Avilés, and Charlie, the guy, he came to the house and said, why don't we stay here? The four of us, why don't we spend the time here? He wanted to stay and live in the house because he thought it was going to help them to get into the character. Everything went very well, but we discovered there was a presence in the house. Someone left the script there. George says, well, the kids want to spend the weekend at home. Someone said, no, not at all, because the house is... on the eighth week, the walls started to move, and everything moved. It was great for the story, but it could fall down and collapse at a given moment. And George left the script and was saying, yeah, this week, why don't we spend the weekend here and it'll help us? And George simply said, he went to his room and he lied down, and when everyone had left, he lay down in the house in the dark. He said, this is how Jack really lives in reality. And then he said, no way am I staying here, I'm leaving. Oh. And so the house was alive, really, and there was something there, a presence. But that would be another story. Well, let's not go into that. Okay, time for another last question. Who's up for it? Okay, if there are no further questions, thank you very much to all of you, the cast and crew, for being here. Oh, yes, there is. Hang on, last one. Yeah, we've still got time. Before, I was walking, but Sam, the little boy, what was it like working with Sam, Sergio? Because someone who is much shorter and smaller. Well, it was marvelous. I adore him. I wanted to adopt him. And plus, they let the poor kid... He came with his grandma first, and then he was there with a chaperone for the whole shoot, but there was a moment the family left him. And I was afraid that him on his own in Asturias, at a given moment, he would say, hey, listen, I'm not going to continue with the film. And it was a lot of fun, because the day in the casting auditions, I played and I talked about the ghost behind the mirror and this, that, and the other, and it was funny because and I would say like this, and he was always trapped by the scene, but he ended up his Laura also who does coaching with kids, was there in the audition, and Matthew sat on me and said, tell me more about the story, tell me. And Laura said, careful, he's seducing you now. He's jumped on your lap. He's very sharp, and the truth is he's very sharp, very intelligent, and we shot from the innocence. He had no idea about the story. He didn't know what was going on. We told him moment by moment what was happening, and in fact, there was a scene in which that we did wasn't included where a bear comes into the house, which was a great fun. He was convinced that something had to do with a bear. He was convinced, but it was never included in the film. But it was cut out. But it was very tender and very special. Everything that happened, many things that happened to Matthew that are in the film, is the moment in which he started to link things together. He was always trying to find out what was happening to their brother and sister, and therefore there were many scenes that I put them. I made them talk, and if they fought especially, you saw that his face would change, and he believed what was going on. So he was living the moment, but later on, he was okay, and he was playing with everyone and asking for a T-shirt. Okay, this is it. Okay, thank you very much to all of you for the film, and thanks for being here. Lots of luck.